Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 17th of March. This is 2021. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, if that's your thing. If not, enjoy Wednesday. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello.
Glad you're with me. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Charlotte, I'd like to start with you and an interesting find we've had in Apple Maps.
Yeah, very interesting development came yesterday that now, this is in the US only, but you are now able to find vaccine sites, COVID-19 vaccine sites through Apple Maps, and you can ask Siri for them as well.
Interesting. Okay.
It's kind of a growing, it's part of the kind of ongoing way Apple is responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. But this is the latest bit whereby you can ask Siri, it will come up in a map and you can get all the information about, the opening hours of the location, that kind of thing. And also, I think it sends you to some vaccine information sites as well, just so you know what's what.
Yeah. So if you... open maps. I just tried it out. If you open maps and where it says search for a place or address, if you tap in there, it'll show your recent searches. And then just below that, you get find nearby. And that used to be, restaurants, coffee shops, that sort of gas stations.
I remember those.
Yeah. I sort of do. And then the first item under find nearby now is COVID-19 vaccines. And you can look and it'll show you the map, and then it gives you the search results like everything else. Open now, opens at 10 a.m., how many miles away, et cetera, et cetera. And then, because I know how we love to do this live on the air, I tapped on one, and it says, vaccinations may require proof of eligibility and an appointment, and then there's a link to make appointment on this one that I tapped on. Nice. So, I like that, and they all say that. I've tapped on a couple of others, and they all say, make appointment, and there's a link. So that's very handy for people who are eligible and able to track those down. That just makes it a lot easier for folks to find that. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. So it is. There's 20,000 sites on there apparently initially. Mm-hmm. 20,000 locations. Although I think through the Apple Business Register, you can submit your. Like if you're a healthcare provider, a lab or something like that, you can submit your information as well.
Okay. That's good.
And it's based on a service from the Boston Children's Hospital called Vaccine Finder, I think that's where most of the information, if you want the S lady command, if you ask her, where can I get a COVID-19, COVID vaccination? Where can I get a COVID vaccination? She will tell you.
Slight side note, this story is getting attention outside of the usual tech circles. I'm seeing it bandied about on one of the political Twitter accounts that I follow. It seems like folks are interested in this.
Yeah. Well, and it makes it convenient. Like, where are they? How late are they open? And having the range of them available in front of you to see, like, what's going to be the easiest for you to get to. So,
yeah, and Apple has been, as I've covered on other places, kind of pretty proactive in a variety of things. Now, we can discuss whether it's right or wrong that basically Apple and Google decided on the global track and trace contact tracing system for the COVID-19 pandemic. We can, that's a different philosophical debate, perhaps for a different show. But we are where we are, and it's pretty clear from the stuff we've discussed, like manufacturing PPE backing tests, helping deliver test kits, didn't we? We discussed that the other week, didn't we, Kelly?
Yeah.
And now this Apple has been, for whatever reasons, perhaps, natural goodwill, whatever, has been pretty forthright. It has the capacity to do these things, and it is using its capacity to do what most people, I think, would agree is good.
Yeah. And I like the idea of just disseminating that information here, all the places it's available, because that information isn't readily available for the most part. Some of the places it's showing are places that I shop, and I have apps or I've been to the website for them recently to find out if they were places that were offering vaccination and couldn't really find a good way to tell if they were or were not. And so being able to look at this and have a link to make appointment, like, makes that a lot more straightforward. So I hope that that's helpful.
Yeah, and I'll be interested, and it wouldn't surprise me if this happens. I don't think it has happened, but I wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Android on Google Maps or something, the Google Maps app begins rolling out a similar tool. It's fascinating listening to hear you describe that, because it's obviously because of the nature of the health system here in the UK. We won't go too far down this rabbit hole, but it's interesting the kind of the different way. Like, I can imagine this kind of facility would not be that useful relatively in the UK. It would be a bit useful, but the system of how it's turning up in the UK is you get a text or an email or something, or a letter in some cases, saying you're now eligible, turn up here, book an appointment on this website, and away you go. So it's interesting that the kind of the different systems in which require a tool like this.
Yeah. And so I can see it being nowhere near as useful maybe there, because it's all sort of managed much more centrally than it is here. Like that,
You know, how do I get to this location is always a useful information.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Interesting. Another thing that Apple has done recently is they've spun up this green bond investment. And Charlotte, this was another one that you picked up that we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, so Apple, as we know, loves to talk up its green credentials.
Yes.
And it did that again today. It provided an update on its $4.7 billion green bond spend. So in 2020, it helped fund 17 projects, and they're apparently going to help avoid an average of 921,000 metric tons of carbon emissions annually. Which is basically the equivalent of taking 200,000 cars off the road.
Wow.
Look, it seems big to me. It's big numbers. There is the kind of common thread, isn't it? That once you're a company with the size and the platform of Apple, you have the capacity to really kind of pull these strings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've talked about like being able to leverage that sort of thing. Right. On Apple's scale and the way that they're doing that. And I thought part of what was interesting to this one was, again, the transparency, like we talked about before when we talked about it's REJI, and I can't remember what it stands for, but it's the Racial Equity and Justice Initiative, I think. About that one, what, like, they came out later and said, like, this is how we're spending what we announced was going to be a big part of this. And they're doing the same thing here. We're just coming out and saying, like, these are projects that we've worked on. These are things that we're doing. We're working with others to make these things more environmentally aware and less environmentally impactful. And that's always really interesting. So, Brian, what's your take on this?
More. just do more. I mean, you know, Apple is showing that a company can be literally obscenely profitable and do good things too.
Yeah.
Right. Doing this stuff. I mean, like, I think back to, the shareholder meetings where there was a conservative lobbying organization that was agitating for Apple to stop spending money on green initiatives. Mm-hmm. And Tim Cook came as close to blowing up as I've ever seen him do. And he gave a very, very angry response, basically saying, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. If you want to invest in a company that is not going to do these things, you should basically invest elsewhere.
Yeah.
And Apple is showing that even doing these things isn't affecting its profits. And in fact, may well be helping from the standpoint of making products easier for people who care about this stuff to purchase.
Yeah.
So, you know, giddy up. Giddy up on Apple.
There is more voting with their dollars. The thing that I always come back to, partly because it's here, is that Apple started spinning up a data center here in Central Oregon. And as part and parcel of that project, they bought a nearby hydroelectric dam in order to power everything with hydroelectric energy instead of using further taxing the power grid in the place that they were, because there are other folks who have gone, there's a whole lot of space and not a whole lot of people in the middle of Oregon. Let's go put a data center there. And there's a whole lot of that happening in Oregon. So, to not further tax, to not slap another data center on the power grid in the middle of Oregon, because I'm pretty sure Prineville was awfully happy that Apple wasn't going to just get in line and start leaning on that as well. So I definitely, like, that's the thing that I come back to, is even because that was ages ago that Apple did that. And it's one of the things that I remember going, well, isn't that interesting that they're going to, you know, sort of power it themselves instead of relying on the power grid and, you know, further taxing it in some ways in order to get with doing what they wanted to do. So,
I would like to see Apple be ever, like, you know, basically trumpeting its own horn, you know, offering the blueprint. You know, Tim Cook used to joke, he hasn't made this joke in a while, but he used to joke about how, the people at Apple hoped that their competitors would copy them on their various green initiatives, and how they were sort of disappointed that this was one area where the competition doesn't copy them.
Yeah.
And, beating this drum louder is, to me, a good thing. And, and I would like to see it beat ever louder.
Yeah. And I appreciate the updates on this. Like, we get the, Brian, you'll remember, is it called the supplier report, where they talk about, like, how well they're doing with
supplier sustainability report? Yeah.
Supplier sustainability, where they talk about upstream, you know, all of the companies that make the stuff that Apple assembles into the stuff that we buy, how those companies are improving and being held accountable in various ways. And I hope for more of this, because like Charlotte said, you know, Apple really does love to toot their own horn about their green cred. And I really want to see more of that, because, you know, I know Tim Cook is only partly joking when he says, like, this is the thing we really wish everyone would copy that we do. So yeah. I want to see more of it. Bring me more reports. Show me more weird, you know, the weird stuff that they're doing. Show me how great the solar panels are, you know. Put Lisa Jackson up there again to talk to us more about the next environmental initiative. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm here for it.
I like a Lisa Jackson on the roof video.
I do too.
Yeah. They're good.
I will take more of them.
I'm always slightly cynical when Apple does these things, and I shouldn't be, really. I should be nicer. And if I was another big tech company, I would also be wanting to put out, I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but a quick Google will tell you the initiatives that Alphabet, Google, Microsoft, any of these big players who are using huge amounts of power are making similarly pretty grand gestures in the environment. So we shouldn't just dismiss those efforts either.
Yeah.
But Apple, I think the difference is, and this just maybe because of how we follow Apple more closely day to day, but the environmental thing seems to be much more embedded in the culture of Apple in lots of different ways, from Tim Cook and Lisa Jackson down. And that feels to me the slight difference, perhaps.
Yeah, I think I don't see it quite as culturally in some other places. So I agree with you there. And I admit I don't follow them as closely, but I do follow them to see, you know, what Google's up to, you know, what Microsoft is up to, just in the vaguest of terms, because I'm always wanting to see where Apple's going to be forced to compete. So I always kind of want to know what they're up to. And I want to see more of this. I want to see a bunch of, you know, we've set these sort of environmental goals and we're crushing it. And we want to tell the whole world that we're crushing it on these goals, and you know, and more, and updates on, like, we said we were going to do this and here's how that's going. Because we do get a lot of sort of grand gesture press releases and then not much else afterwards sometimes. So that's the other thing I appreciate about these, is the ongoing reports. So I think that one's pretty interesting. I'm pretty sure Brian's going to... Go ahead.
The point is, no, I think that to your point, well, endorsing your point really, that dynamic changes when you hire someone like Lisa Jackson.
Sure.
Like, once you've made the commitment to bring someone like that to the senior levels of your company, you're not just putting out press releases anymore. You're doing practical things.
Absolutely. And I think Brian's probably going to bail for a few minutes and go get a snack while Charlotte and I talk about an interesting announcement from Apple that warranted a press release all on its own as part of their ongoing commitment to celebrate Women's History Month.
Yeah, so it was International Women's Day a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it's Women's History Month this month, I believe, whole of March. And so Apple is doing things to kind of shed a light on female-focused products, female-founded firms, that kind of thing. And today it's gone for one called Carrier, which is, the idea is it helps myth bust information around the menopause and help women monitor that and so on and monitor symptoms and build a community and that kind of thing. So they posted up, and there's a link to it on the Mac Observer, an interview with Arthur Rahman, who was a co-founder and the company's CEO. Apparently she and her fellow co-founder Scott Gorman attended Apple's Entrepreneur Camp in 2019. They met, collaborated with the key engineer there, so they obviously have a relatively close working relationship with Apple anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's the app that's getting a bit of a plug on as an App Store story through an Apple press release and so on. And she said some interesting stuff. She said, developing on the Apple platform and leveraging the capabilities of iOS have made meeting our priority for user privacy and security while delivering a stellar user experience easier. I wonder if that quote went through the Apple press office.
I wonder if it. Yeah. Would you say that as a design centric healthcare company, that perhaps. Yeah.
That seems to tick a lot of boxes. But to be fair, if you look at the. I've shared some of the pictures from the app and so on, you can see how that applies. While I'm being quite sarcastic, I'm sorry, I'm in a bit of a funny mood today. I should be nicer. But it did make me giggle as well. And I downloaded some of the images that Apple shared on the press release. They were clearly marked Apple Women's Month.
Yeah.
They all have like a different title and all the titles start Apple _ Women's _ Month, which, you know, look, sure. The month is all about Apple, obviously.
That's true. It's been I have enjoyed seeing those stories go by in watching some of them, partly because they're, you know, this is sort of a good problem to have almost in some ways, and that's like there's so much stuff that goes by on the App Store, and so much of it is something from a developer who has an interesting story, and you can go and you know, for Apple to be shining that light on them in a particular way is always kind of interesting. So I always look for those, like, here's somebody who built an app because it solved a particular need. You know, the one I think of a lot is Waterminder, because it was written by a guy whose wife would get really bad headaches, and it turned out that part of the issue was that she would get dehydrated. And so he built Waterminder just basically to remind her to have a glass of water on the regular. And it's a great app. And it solves one problem very well. It's very lightweight. I use it and I really like it. And, you know, getting those stories out of there, and particularly for Women's History Month, to see the other stuff that women are doing that's out there and available has been interesting. So I am glad for these, and I look forward to reading them. And I was impressed that this one rated a press release all of its own, basically. You know, part of that is spinning out of going to Apple's Entrepreneur Camp. And, you know, I'm sure that's another piece of this, because they do have a very close relationship with Apple, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the extent of it, but they attended the Entrepreneurs Camp and stuff, which is always cool.
Yeah.
We should, if there are women who are developers listening to the show, which we hope there are, Apple does do these kind of developer camps, and I think they've done women specific ones and trying to encourage female entrepreneurship. So check out if there's a program that you can be a part of.
And if you are a woman who's an app developer and you want to talk to us about your app, we would love to hear about it. So email us at observations@macobserver.com and we will be happy to spotlight you here. I would be super into that. So yeah, we'll see what we can do. Brian, thanks so much for coming by today.
Indeed. And well, actually, I enjoyed your conversation. I'll just drop that there.
Charlotte, you owe me a dollar. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by today.
See you guys.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.